Good morning, and welcome to our worship service. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, you have invited and urged us to seek you while you may be found. Dear Lord, we come to you today seeking your grace and your mercy. We ask you to come to us and bless us and cause your word to take root in our hearts and in our lives. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is He's Risen, He's Risen, and we ask you to stand for the last verse of that hymn. I invite you to follow along with our order of service, which is printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. And we begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is God and Savior. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today, this Sunday after Easter, is taken from Acts chapter 2. We'll read verse 14 and then also verses 22 through 32. Peter's words on the day of Pentecost. We will hear more about Peter in our gospel reading, in our sermon text for today. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them. And then from verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man recommended to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man who was handed over by God's set plan and foreknowledge, you killed by having lawless men nail him to a cross. He is the one God raised up by freeing him from the agony of death, because death was not able to hold him in its grip. Indeed, David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon my life to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Gentlemen, brothers, I can speak confidently to you about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath that he would seat one of his descendants on his throne, he saw what was coming and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, saying that he was neither abandoned to the grave, nor did his flesh see decay. This Jesus is the one God has raised up. We are all witnesses of that. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This is the traditional gospel reading for the Sunday after Easter. We hear about Jesus' appearance to his disciples and his appearance again the next week to Thomas, who was not there on Jesus' first appearance on Easter night. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O Sons and Daughters of the King.
Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our resurrected Savior, who is our living hope, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Peter's first letter. We read from chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you witnessed something that was absolutely incredible, like mind-blowingly amazing, especially if it was something really good, what words would you use to describe your reaction to it? Shock? Disbelief? Awe? Joy? When we see the disciples' reactions to Jesus' resurrection, don't we see those types of reactions? Just think of our gospel reading from a few moments ago when Jesus appeared to his disciples that Easter Sunday evening and showed them his hands and his side. We're told that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Think of the gamut of emotions we saw in the reaction of Thomas. Of course, he's known first of all for his doubt that he had at first, the disbelief he had when the disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord. He's risen." He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." But then after seeing the Christ risen with his own two eyes, Thomas reacts with awe-filled worship and no doubt plenty of joy when he says, "My Lord and my God." Today we'll consider another one of the disciples' resurrection reactions, and that is Peter's. Think of how Peter must have felt between Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. I'm sorry, Easter Sunday. Think of what he went through, and think of what he put himself through. From Monday, Thursday, he was there to witness the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there in the courtyard of the high priest, and while he was there, he denied Jesus three times, even doing so vociferously with an oath, saying, "I don't even know this man." Now his friend and his Savior, the one he had believed was the Messiah, was crucified and was lying dead in a tomb. What words do you think you'd use to describe how Peter felt that weekend? Ashamed? Despairing? Confused? Hopeless? How about after Jesus' resurrection from the dead? How do you think Peter felt then? Well, let's let him tell us with his very own words how he felt when he saw Jesus with his own eyes that resurrection Sunday. And listen to how joyfully he writes about it in the words of our text. Look especially at verse 3, the first verse of our text. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Later on, of course, in our text, in one of the last verses of our text, he talks about a rejoicing with a joy that is inexpressible. Do you think that Peter was happy to see Jesus alive again? I think so. Because of Jesus' resurrection, Peter was not only hopeful and joyful, he describes it as being a living hope. He describes his joy as being a joy that is inexpressible. Is it any wonder then that Peter piles on the descriptions of all the blessings that are ours through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, as you read through the rest of the verses of our text? Now, the really good news for you and me is that these blessings are not just Peter's or the rest of the 11 who were there on resurrection night. These blessings are ours as well through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The applications for us in our life of faith are exactly what Peter writes about in our text for today. We have been born again. We have been given a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus' resurrection has also given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And we are kept in this living hope, as Peter says, by God's power. We are being guarded through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Amazingly, even the trials and the difficulties of life, Peter tells us, are reasons to rejoice when we look at them in light of Jesus' resurrection. Listen to his words of encouragement in verses 6 and 7. He says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter, of course, was an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection. He got to see the risen Jesus Christ for himself with his own two eyes on that very first Easter Sunday. He got to see him in all his resurrected glory for the next 40 days after that. So you might think to yourself, well, of course the joy of knowing Jesus was alive kept Peter joyful and persevering through the trials of life. He got to be with Jesus before and after he rose from the dead. But how about me? What about us? We don't have that benefit. We are some almost 2,000 years removed from this greatest event in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus. Well, remember the people to whom Peter originally wrote this first letter. This letter wasn't written actually like the day after Easter. It was written some 30 years after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, after his ascension back into heaven. So Peter's original readers of this first letter would not have seen Jesus risen from the dead with their own two eyes either. And yet, what does Peter say in the last verses of our text to them? He says, "Though you have not seen him," that is Jesus, "you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. That is one of the greatest miracles of Easter. Those words aren't just written for Peter's original readers. Those are words written for us. You and I, by God's grace, through his holy and powerful word, love Jesus, even though we have not seen him. We believe in Jesus, even though we do not see him now. On top of that, as Peter says, we rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible. A joy he describes as being filled with glory. Why? Because we are obtaining the outcome of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. Think of how miraculous that is. Even though we do not see Jesus now, we believe in him and we love him. Even though we've never seen Jesus, we believe in him and we love him. If you doubt the miraculous nature of that, think about this. Think of how many people saw Jesus both before and after he rose from the dead. Think of how many people saw Jesus die, be crucified, knew that he was buried in a tomb, and then they saw him after he had risen from the dead. And think of how many of those people who saw him crucified and then risen again, think of how many of them did not believe, even though they had seen him after he had risen from the dead. The faith that you and I have been given, unasked, unforced, unearned, is quite simply a miracle from God that should make us fall to our knees and praise, like Peter, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ daily. It took a miracle. It took a resurrection for that faith to happen inside of you and me. The Bible tells us very plainly that by nature, from birth, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. It doesn't use the term sick or weak. It says dead in our trespasses and sins. But that verse from Ephesians goes on to say, but God made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Made us alive. That sounds like a resurrection. And because Jesus rose from the dead on the last day, not only will we have that resurrection of our hearts through faith, because of Jesus' resurrection, we are guaranteed that we too will rise body and soul from our graves on the last day to that inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So what is our reaction to Jesus' resurrection? By God's grace, may it be the same as Peter's. Let the resurrection be the thought that cheers your hearts and your souls when things seem hopeless. Because you have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let this thought cheer you as you go through the fiery trials of life. And remember what Peter tells us. He tells us that God is using those trials to refine us, refine our faith like gold, to keep it genuine, to make it strong until that last day when it will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let that thought be the thought that gives you comfort as the days go by and you see that last day approaching. Let that be your joy today and always, and you will truly have a living hope. Though you and I have not seen Jesus, we love him. Though you and I have not seen him now, we believe in him, and we rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Take not your Holy Spirit from You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we ask you to place it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our worship service with our next hymn, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense. Please rise. Prayers are requested today, first of all, for Wayne's daughter, Michelle. They have found a large ovarian tumor on her, and she's going in tomorrow to see her oncologist. We pray for her and for her comfort in this troubling time, and also for her husband, Craig, and their family. We also pray for all those who are traveling this week. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are our living hope because you live and rule over all things. Please watch over us and protect us at all times. We ask for your protection, your care, and your healing for Wayne's daughter, Michelle. Please be with her as she goes in for her oncologist appointment tomorrow. Let the results be good. Bless her with the proper treatment to help heal and cure the cancer, if it be your will. Be her comfort in this troubling time, dear Lord, and be with her husband as well. Help them to know that you are right there with them, and that in this trial and in this fiery difficulty, you are working this out for their good, and you are using this to strengthen their faith in you. We know, Lord, that you can do all things, and that if it is your will, you will heal. But if it is your will, Lord, that this be a trial and be a very great difficulty for her health, we ask you to strengthen her spirit through you. Please, dear Savior, watch over us, protect us. Let your holy and powerful angels attend to us wherever we go to keep us safe from all harm. Be with us and all those who are traveling, whether it is for work or vacation, and bless our words and actions while we are away from home, that we may take your saving name with us wherever we go and be witnesses of your grace and love. Bless our going out and our coming in now and forever as you have promised. O Father, though we are reminded daily of the curse that is still evident in this life of sin, in the toil, the pain, and the death that are so much a part of this earthly life, we pray that you would fill our hearts with peace and joy, the peace and joy of Jesus' resurrection, so that these things hold no terror for us. As our Father in Christ Jesus, hear us when we pray, and according to your will, remove the things that distress us. And so that we may experience the peace which transcends all understanding, forgive our offenses as we daily plead the merits of your Son, Jesus. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us the gift of faith to receive God's offer of peace through Christ. Grant that we remain steadfast in our faith so that we never lose our redemption, which was purchased with the Savior's blood. Cause the peace which God has declared through Christ to rule our hearts so bountifully that we will serve our God in all that we do and live in peace and love with our fellow man. Broadcast throughout the world that blessed message of forgiveness and peace in the crucified and risen Christ, and draw the hearts of sinners to our Savior, calling them to repentance. In the blessed name of Jesus, we ask all these things as we pray in his name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with our last hymn, "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight." You're invited to stand for the last verse.
Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for this week. I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and then flying down to Southern California for our worship service and Bible study there tonight at 6:30. This week, school resumes tomorrow at 8:15 after our Easter break this past week. A reminder, since we didn't have Bible class today, we will be having our Wednesday Zoom Bible class at 7 p.m. This Wednesday. The link is in the bulletin. I'll be sending a reminder and a link in your email this week on Wednesday morning. So look for that, and please join us for our Wednesday Zoom Bible class Wednesday night, if you're able. Next Sunday, our schedule is back to normal. Our Bible class at 9 a.m., worship service at 10 a.m. The Women's Auxiliary will then meet after the service next Sunday at 11:15. Please check your mailboxes. There is a financial report both for our church and our church body for the month of March. Please keep those needs of our congregation and our church body in your prayers and also in mind as you give your offerings. There is a note about the weekly sermon podcast. The ministry by mail has been going on for 65 years, and sending out sermons by mail, and the editor and the one who runs the ministry by mail has now put our sermons on a podcast. So you can get them by video, by email, and also by podcast now. So please check out that website if you'd like, and you can see some of the sermons from different pastors around the CLC, and even listen to them as you go about your day if you'd like to as well. You might even hear or see a few of mine on there. I'm on the staff of Ministry by Mail too, so you'll probably see one of mine in the next couple of weeks. We had a number of thank yous last Sunday for those who helped with the food and the setup, those who helped with the decorations in church. I neglected to give a big thank you to Barb for the blessed music that she played last Sunday and plays for us every Sunday. It was a lot of hymns that I gave her to play and many blessed Easter songs we were able to sing last Sunday. So thank you for your work for us last Sunday and every Sunday as well, Barb. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.